Well, I'll tell you, the road signs in the spiritual realm, you're going to have a little different pair of glasses on to see them. Right?
Yeah.
Like that Star of Bethlehem. You got to have a different pair of glasses to actually know what it's announcing. So, just a real quick up of the bow at the last 3 weeks. The Lord kind of spoke to us and said that we'd been across the river for about a year. In the promised land, we hadn't taken care of anything. So we got a strategy in heaven. And our first strategy, we were supposed to take care of those kings, which would represent a mindset. So when you're in the wilderness, and then you're in the promised land. I think I will rearrange that. If you want to pull out Galatians 4, I'm going to read this real quick so you can see what Paul is talking about and is also bringing forth a scripture from Isaiah, the different mindsets of wilderness mentality, promised land mentality, somebody who's a slave and somebody who's free and an adopted as a son. Paul describes it wonderfully. So Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children, who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are in labor, for more are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Let's read that again. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at the time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it is now also. But what does scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. So that's just the whole epitome. We are not children to be enslaved. We are children of the promise. And as we venture through the promised land, there's a whole lot of bondage that needs to be directed out of our life. And that is what we're currently doing. So, a couple weeks ago, we entered in and we said, Lord, and we took care of what the king of Jericho represents. Remember, he represents dubious. And we just collected all those words that wanted to have a party with dubious. And we told them, no, you just stay there. You're not part of our life. We repented and we sent them on. Then last week we talked and we thought, well, because we gathered as a bench on Thursday nights and we went, are we finished? Well, we discovered from the Lord that there needed to be, that's a pretty big life application. God, do you really want to go there? Okay, that's easy. So, I live on Highway 20, right? If the city and its surrounding cities back in that time, if that was where I'm at in the North Gate, if that was something I were to defend as a king, and let's see, everybody had been using Highway 20, Well, now I have defeated it in war, and now Highway 20, or that gateway, belongs to me. So all you as people that have been using Highway 20 have to go a different route. So Highway 20 would belong to me, and that was me. And so we cleared it up. It's all good and stuff. There's no more problems or anything. I'm responsible for that gateway. I'm responsible for Highway 20 now. It comes into my jurisdiction. So whoever travels on it now, if there's any repairs, any kind of stuff, I'm responsible for it. So when we kick out Dubious, the king of Jericho, and all of his cohorts, we are responsible to be guardians over that inheritance. Okay? So what we did is we did it corporately, then we did and applied it personally. And this week, God has something more for us. And we're learning to have responsibility for that which God has called us to rule and reign over.
I need to turn down one set of lights.
Okay.
I need to move the painting. That one, like this?
Yep.
Can you all see the eyes?
Uh-huh.
Good. So we've talked a lot about imagination, so you need to now create a scene in your mind that we are now some 2,000 years back. Jericho just came crumbling down. We just had the victory. And I'm going to represent Achan. And this is Achan's lovely tent. And I should have a turban or something, but we couldn't find one. So I want you to visualize the battle, the aftermath, and visualize Achan sitting in his tent, talking to himself. So I did that, and I wrote down what I thought Achan might have been thinking. So I want to share that with you. So here I am in my tent. It's been a long day. What a victory the Lord has given us. Those mighty walls of Jericho crumbled. Has the earth ever heard such a mighty roar, such a shout that went up? It was glorious. Our mighty army cut them down. We destroyed every one of our enemies. We spared only that Rahab woman and her family. The rest live no more. Every man, every woman, every child, ox, goat, sheep, even the dogs met our sword. Their blood soaks the ground. Will that not cause other kings to shake and to tremble in our sight? We are now a threat, and we have made our mark. But this troubles me. Why would Joshua command us to kill every person, men, women, children, babies, and even the livestock? Well, yes, those people were pagans. They were carving idols. They were bowing down to idols. They were sacrificing their children in the fire to their gods. Such a horror. Surely they deserve to meet this fate. They brought it upon themselves. But why the livestock? we sacrifice animals. Ox, goats, sheep, as offerings to our Jehovah, God of Israel. Could we not have increased our herds? Would we not have had choice animals to offer unto the Lord? We could have held a great feast in the honor of the Lord. We could have given a coat to a poor family in the tribes. We could have made better provision for widows. Why could we not keep at least the best? Doesn't he want to bless us? We're his children. We followed him out of Egypt. My, oh my, oh my, my, what riches we saw in this city. Gold and silver laid up in the house of every rich man. Silks, fine woolens, tapestries, wine and oil, spices and storehouses of grain. Such plenty, all for the taking. But no, no, Joshua tells us we can't have any of it. He says God put a ban on it. Well, why would God do that anyway? Maybe Joshua didn't even get it right. We're the children of Abraham, after all. We're to be blessed. Just as Abraham was blessed with wealth and many herds. And didn't God himself tell us he was going to give us a land flowing with milk and with honey? And here it is, pouring right into our hands. But no, Joshua says we can't have any of it. There's so much, and we have needs. But Joshua says it has to be untouched. The gold and the silver, all has to go to the temple. Well, you know those priests. I wonder if they don't have a racket. They skim off the top, and no one will know the difference. Ha! Well, I have beat them at their own game. I won't be duped this time. I've made sure I got my fair share. In fact, it's hidden right here, somewhere. A few gold coins. You know, no one was looking when I slipped that mantle into my bag. No one saw the silver bar I took. No one saw the gold. And it was so little compared to so much. It'll never be missed. And no one will ever know. Would God not want me to bless my children with an inheritance and to prosper? Aiken.
Was his last name dubious?
That's what I thought Aiken might have been thinking.
Thank you.
Go, John. I'm going to tune up the light.
So when we met as a bench of three Thursday night after last week, we asked ourselves, is there something, a lesson for us to be had in this battle that we just participated in and we corporately participated in? And we felt like there was, because as you know the story, Achan was in hot water. And we felt like one of the things that came out of that was a sin of presumption. Achan presumed that he knew better than God. He presumed that he would have the right perspective. He presumed that all these benefits of the herds of sheep and cattle and the silver and gold and the mantle, God would want him to have those, and that could well be true, but God has principles that we have to apply. We can't presume upon those principles. So it could be that those very things that Achan put under his tent floor, he thought he should be blessed by them. Well, it could be very well that God would want to bless him, but Achan sort of presumed upon that and blessed himself and sort of took it away from God, that option to bless him with those things. So we look at the punishment that happened to Achan. I would assume you all kind of remember that, but just to review, there was a process. You're going to get into the process how we figured out who it was, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to, how he, well, the story is that he said, he got the nation of Israel together, and he said, I think they cast lots for which tribe and which family in the tribe and which individual household, and so the whole nation of Israel, pardon me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's going to expand on this, so. But the point was, it came right down to Achan's family. He was the last one to come forth in the lot, and so they were guilty. And does anybody remember what happened to Achan and his family? What happened?
Like the earth swallowed them up or something.
Yeah, swallowed them up, and he and his whole family. So as we were at the bench of three, we were trying to ask ourselves, what principle do we have for us in this time? What is God saying in heaven that we need to bring to earth, and what's the principle that we perhaps need to incorporate? And the feeling we got was that God's telling us that presumption is not that big a deal, but yes, it is a big deal, because Achan's whole family line was destroyed. So our thinking is we have to be careful. If we taint our DNA, it's going to affect our whole family, the whole future. So if there's some sin of presumption or other issue that God wants us to deal with, if we don't deal with it, it likely can go down our family line for generation after generation. So it doesn't necessarily just affect us, it affects down the line. He wants our DNA to be pure. So one of the things that we did to deal with that on a personal basis, and I think there's a corporate explanation, is Mike taught us, do you remember the figure, the infinity figure that he taught us about? Do you remember that it has a 3D sort of aspect to it? Do you remember what's in the center where they cross? The cross is there, the cross of Christ. Now, I don't know if he went into that detail, but the way I understood and when I heard him talk about it was that represents the beginning, and then proceeding through time and at the cross then into the future, and then it goes back. So what we can do is we can stand at the point that we're at. There's the picture of it. We can stand at the point we're at in that, and we can look back and we can do something about the negative consequences that perhaps are tied to our DNA. I've heard Bill Johnson say, and I've heard a lot of people say, but in the schools where I picked it up, is we need to look at things that aren't as though they are, that our words have power. We can speak to things that aren't as though they were. And have some of you heard that? So there's a creative power in our words. And one of the things that Mike teaches is that we can take something that has ended up in our DNA or in a number of things that was not intended to be, we can look back to the original creation and look at ourselves and say, how was I to be created? What was I supposed to be like before the fall, when I was perfectly formed in my mother's womb and I'm fearfully and wonderful made? And we can look at that from by going into heaven and looking at using this concept, we can look back into history and see how we were supposed to have been formed. And we can make a choice now to behave according to that rather than that fallen nature and the tainted DNA that's tracked us throughout our history. Now, we can't change history. That's happened. But what we can do is we can alter our future if we behave according to that perfect example that we should have been. Now, admittedly, this is a concept that was new to me, somewhat foreign, and I need further understanding, but Mike's teaching resonated with me as he taught it. So what we did is we took, and we did that, we looked back personally and said, I'm going to make a decision based on going into the promised land and seeing this sin. I'm going to myself personally purify my DNA looking forward by choosing to behave in the way I was created to behave. And we can do that corporately. And so corporately we have a responsibility too, that when we do individually do things, it's just between us and God, but there are times when God wants to take that to the next level. Because see, we have our own bench of three, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's our governing body, so to speak. But then there's the next level up, which is our the body of Christ, of which we're a member, and there's a bench of three there. So we are part of that body. So there can be repentance or decision-making. And so I think today one of the things that we want to do is take that sin of Achan, that sin of presumption, and make sure that corporately it's not holding us back and that our DNA is not tainted as we move to the future with that. That's a bit of a rough explanation, and I'll have to check with the boss to see if that was an adequate explanation.
The boss here?
my fellow venture.
Awesome.
So in exactly what John said, so we were standing before God, and we sensed, because you know how your hearts just get welled with something, we went, well, did anybody ever put back the spoil? And so with that same principle of being able to look backwards, that's what was moved upon in our hearts. So we went by faith, and we took that spoil that Achan had taken, and we took it and we presented it to the Lord.
And so the principle there is, by doing that, we look back, and from this day forward now, that's been corrected. And I didn't know you could do that, but Mike's teaching us that you can, that we exist in this framework and God sees him from the beginning, so we can look back and see how it should have been and make a decision today to correct that forward.
And that through compassion, you're moved by desire in the spirit room, you're moved by compassion. So we presented that simply by faith, because that belonged to the Lord. It was his. And so we presented it to him, and we knew to trade it. We learned that we knew that to trade on the glassy sea, and it was really cool. So this is the first time that all three of us encountered Melchizedek as a bench. Melchizedek, remember, a couple months ago I taught on that. He is the chancellor of the Lord's treasury room. And if you want to learn more about Melchizedek, I'm trying to remember where it's found. I didn't look it up before here, but you can find him when he actually was the king of Salem, king of peace, and he was the king and priest unto God. And remember, Jesus came and follows after the order of Melchizedek. So he is a very important person. He's not Jesus. He's his own person. He's his own person. So anyhow, that was really amazing. So by faith, when we stepped in and we presented this back, what was stolen, and presented it back to the Lord, we sensed Melchizedek. We actually saw the beginnings of his treasure, the Lord's treasury, in his mountain. And at that point in time, we felt like we were standing right there in the middle. And at that point in time, that's when John in his spirit looked back, and me in my spirit, I looked forward. We didn't know we were doing this until it just happens because of where you are. So you've changed realms in that. And so John saw back. He saw what we were supposed to be, and I, like sitting on the mountain, could see all of the promised land totally inhabited by God's people, and it was just amazing. So what did we sense the Lord to bring out of that? There were a couple of points that I think are really excellent to understand. laid out the story that's told in Joshua, I'm going to read, because I needed to understand what is the Hebrew culture that surrounds this story. Because I lots of times think things from a Western mind. So I asked a couple of questions, and I said, well, first of all, why did they have all why were there seven priests? This is when they were going into Jericho. Why were there seven priests? And why did they have to go around seven times? Why did they have to blow seven shofars, why is it? And so I went, well, I got the number seven thing, because that's a sign of completion. But what I didn't know, it was actually what it was doing, it was in the spirit, God was literally setting up a framework to set in motion a sabbatical year. And I went, all right, a sabbatical year. So sabbatical year is the seventh year on the Hebrew calendar. Remember when they didn't prune, they didn't do anything, they let all of their fields rest. Remember those the times that if there's anything owed, it came back to you. That was called a sabbatical year. So what God framed up by Jericho, he was setting forth a sabbatical year. I went, cool. You know what's even cooler? I went, well, I wonder on the Hebrew calendar, when's the sabbatical year? We're in one. Isn't that interesting? It went from September 23rd, 14, to September 13, 2015. Isn't that interesting? So, in all this, there was another precept that we thought was important in this particular battle. Let me put a name to it. Where did I put it? Oh. So, one of the reasons why Joshua exterminated all the people from Jericho, including the king, exterminate. There was a reason, as John said. One of the reasons is that to remove that DNA from the continued bloodline, seed line. So it's no longer there. It no longer can reproduce. It's not to be absorbed into their DNA. And I'm going to again share from my commentary in my Tanakh, and this is called a collective responsibility, and it is a principle of God. I'm going to read it, and I'm highlighting Joshua 7:12. I'm not reading the scripture, I'm highlighting what the rabbis spoke here. Although only Achan sinned, it was regarded as a national violation of the covenant with God, because those who did not protest when something is universally condemned as an unthinkable sin, even individuals would not take it lightly. Thus, Achan's sin was indicative of a general failure to treat God's word spoken by his prophets with the necessary gravity. The transgressor would be identified by means of the chosen. I'm not saying that right. That's what they called the priests. The breastplate of the Kohen, the Levites, there's chosen and Kohens, upon which were inscribed the names of all the tribes. I'm going to show you some. Okay, I'll do that. When the responsible party, so you ever want to know, well, how did they actually figure out that it was his tribe, his family, then Achan? Inquiring minds want to know. So when this responsible party passed in front of the chosen, the priests, the stone containing that tribe's name would grow dim. So they had the 12 stones on the breastplate of the priests that are standing there, and they were obviously illuminated by God. When the tribe came by, they were looking at it. The tribe's marker grew dim. That's how they knew that they were guilty. And so they did that all the way till Achan. The stone containing that tribe's name would grow dim. The leaders of the tribe, representing their brethren, would approach. Then would come the leaders of the indicted families, and finally, each individual. Since Achan was from the tribe of Judah, the stone on the tribe grew dim each time Achan's representative passed by, and finally, they singled him out as the sinner. Collective responsibility. So, what we sensed is a lot of times we can repent corporately and we can repent individually. But what we felt like God was telling us with that word presumption is that it really does matter corporately. Together, it does matter corporately. We're going to do something fun here for a minute. I have got a couple of fun things that I need your help with. Okay. I have a puzzle for us to do. Look at that, can move. Isn't that amazing? So help me. We need to put, this is going to show something. Oh, there's a corner, huh? Is anybody here really good and fast with puzzles?
I like blue, but I'm not fast. That was blue.
Which blue? This blue right here?
No, you got four pieces of blue on it.
This one? Does this one go here? Oh, it does. It just went in. Okay, this one's an edge one, so this could go here. Oh, it even got, oh, here's another corner. All right, let's get some of this stuff out. Here's some more blue. Does that go right there? No. No. All right. This one here?
No.
Like that? Oh, you're right. Does that top go into this one here? All right, help me out. Oop, it does. Okay, there's that corner up here. Here's a top. Here, this, what? Where? Here's another top.
Yeah, turquoise ones.
Which ones? Okay, let's stick this over here. These?
There's two pink ones that go together.
There's these up here? Like here?
Pull some more turquoise over
there. That dark blue.
Like this one goes here. That one goes there. Isn't that amazing? Oh, does that go in there right there?
Yeah.
I like it.
I should be having my husband do this. He does the solitaire all the time. So isn't this interesting? Okay, here's another. This must be a bottom. Oh, here's the bottom corner. This one goes over on this. Does it go? Nah, it doesn't go there. Close, but nope. Okay, now what are we doing here? Here's more of that. This here, does that go there? This one here?
Yep.
Does that go there? Move that little guy out. So here, I don't know. You see, I got this corner. Ooh, here comes another corner over there. Now, somebody else help me here. Oop, that one goes there. All right. Now what?
That corner looks like it maybe go with the one right next to it.
Which one?
No. Can't see it.
Oop.
The red.
Yeah.
You've got a yellow.
You're right. There's a yellow knob.
Oh,
that just jumped right in there. Oop, here comes on this side.
And then the two red pieces on the right go, no.
No, oh, wrong one. Sorry. This one?
Yeah, it goes to the blue and right there. And the other red one.
Oh, I'm losing my pieces here. Just a minute. I gotta
move it down.
Where'd it go? So it goes
there, over there.
Okay, see, it's here for you guys to see.
The other yellow pieces.
All right, am I, there we go. Are we having fun yet? Okay, now what? Oh, this one must go over here, huh?
Yep.
No.
edge.
It is edge.
Top edge.
Yeah, that one goes into that one, I think.
That doesn't go there. This one goes, nah. I need help with the hard ones. Who wants to do the help with the hard ones?
Well, you're right, Don. I think it goes sideways.
What?
You're a genie.
I don't think they turn.
No.
No.
I don't think they turn either.
All right, now what do we do?
This one?
Put that up on top
there. I don't know. You got
the top corner.
This one?
On the right side.
Ooh, there's more pieces.
In other words, you've got a corner going off the screen.
Yeah. This one?
Top right corner is
top
off
right
the screen.
There
you go.
Ah, okay.
Is that snap right next to it?
Does this one go here? Oh, that one does. Ooh, that's got, that's, no.
How about the one, the two right sides up together?
Huh?
See the two right side? Yeah, the one right next to it. To the right of it?
This?
The one on the bottom.
That one, move that one down below those.
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone figure out what we're making yet?
Press my.
Oh, I think
stop.
I know.
You do? Okay.
You read the text.
I really like it. Does that go? No, that doesn't go.
The third, on the left side, the third one down, the pink steps at the top.
This one?
There's a top edge.
Yeah.
The left is a top edge.
No, that one doesn't
over
go.
On the right side.
Huh?
Right. Far right edge.
This one?
Far right. Very right.
Far top right. Next to that
next
one.
To that one.
Right.
Next to
there.
Take the one on the right
very
side
right.
All by itself.
Right.
No,
right screen.
I don't see it, but you guys
okay.
One
go
over to the right side.
The right side. Go to the right side of the screen. There you go.
Only guy. Oh, okay.
All right. Oh, we're still missing some pieces. Are they hidden? Oh, see, there's some missing pieces.
Yeah, there's
got to
be another pink knob somewhere.
This one's got to go.
Right there.
There it is.
Right there.
And that whole centerpiece can move to
there.
Yeah,
right there.
Yep.
Hey, we're getting there.
That one on the left.
Actually,
oh.
The right connects to the
right.
All
right.
Just move the little right piece.
Yeah, right.
That goes over there by the green.
Like this?
Yep. That middle bottom one? No, it's not attached, is it?
Yeah,
lonely one on
that
the
right.
Right
there.
What lonely one on the right?
Not
this thing?
Yep. There you go.
I gotta get Tim. I'm missing some of those because I can't
see.
Oh,
those
see.
Are on the bottom.
No, those are tops.
Those are.
No, the bottom ones are.
There's one on the bottom that'll go over to the second.
This one?
That one's the very one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are good.
No, it's up on the left top. Top.
This one?
Yep.
Backseat drivers.
Hey, communication. Oh.
One more bottom piece that you're
this
done.
One?
Yep.
There you go.
That one is
right there.
Am I driving you guys nuts yet?
No, that would be a
short trip.
Yep, short trip. There.
That, yeah.
No, not swap those two.
That one and the one that lets you
click
in.
Could, oh, there's a hidden one here. So, can you guys actually see the whole thing of this? Oh,
hey.
I didn't know. Isn't that funny? It's a making puzzle. I am really trying to. So. That, those are actually the stones. That's the breastplate. Those are the stones with the Hebrew. And the Hebrew thing. I actually took a picture so you can see the names. I'll put it up of another one. And then we have another. Ah, it's in here. All photos. Here it is. You guys want to see the names that actually go with the stones? Oh, except for some of my pictures at the bottom. The stones on the breastplate. So when they pass, a stone would go din. Isn't that amazing? So if that's what God did, remember our external control. What does God do with that now that we're in heaven? What would that look like? Because there's a principle there. So could we actually look in the spirit of each other and see what's ignited and what isn't ignited? in each other. Interesting. So,
I am going to, I read that already.
I have something else fun for you to do today. So if one of those were missing, so remember what John was talking about is that the collectiveness, the whole point of Joshua following the precepts of the Lord, calling collective responsibility, that is a precept of God, collective responsibility. We're all responsible, and that's what we sensed that God wanted to talk to us about. That we're all responsible. And the purpose for this is because we are going to move forward and we're going to deal with AI, which means a heap of rubble.
So that's the next city that.
So remember, they didn't take it the first time because of them not following the precepts of God. One individual. They didn't take it. So we just sense that there was something that God was teaching us and learning and encouraging us that yes, everybody matters. I have another fun little game for you. I'll turn on the other lights. You want to press that up?
One to each person.
One to each person.
Oh, are we being timed?
Oh, I think that's a good idea, Julia. Okay. But you can't start it yet.
I'll turn on some of the lights.
And who needs a pen? Who needs a writing block? You can't start yet. No cheating, no looking. Who needs a writing utensil? Raise your hand. You need a writing utensil. Anybody else need it?
I can't. You gotta get the chair.
Okay.
I need one.
Oh, okay. Sure. Anybody else need a writing utensil? Here we go. All right.
Now, if you've been looking, your little stone's going to start dimming.
That was good.
That is an excellent, simple, okay? Because remember, we're doing a puzzle. We saw puzzles in the spirits, and we go, oh, the white, because God's teaching us, if there's one piece out in a puzzle, doesn't get finished, and it's got a hole in it. It's not done. So that's what we sense that God was bringing forth. Every piece matters because it all has a portion. We're fitted together, knitted together, and everybody. And so we're just hearing God, okay, we want to collectively understand how valuable we all are, how we move together. He's teaching us. All right, let me get my, I think I put my phone back here. Here it is. You think 2 minutes is possible? No? 3 minutes?
Yeah.
3 minutes, go. The words you're finding are at the bottom.
Thank you.
card. I'm using the cheat sheet.
No.
Oh my.
No, my stone is giving here.
Oh. Are you really done?
No.
What do you think? Is it possible that collectively we got them all done?
Maybe.
Probably.
Do you think? How many? Did you get it done, Tana? So how many words do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. So how many got between over 15? Anybody? Anybody over 10? Young people, yeah, young people. Yeah, you guys qualify with the young people, huh?
Well, we work together. So
yeah, you work together. You got over 10.
So you only get 5 each.
Right. I made this online. I made this online in about 2 minutes. Isn't that amazing?
You can make these.
Yeah, I made them. I took the puzzle, the other puzzle too. Isn't that amazing? That you can make those. You put in your words. Notice that I put in words that we're, you know, talking about. So you guys want the answers?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay. All right, so I'll leave it. Yeah, I don't even have all that. I was sitting there following the directions and counting them.
Okay, so let's just for fun see how many of the total we got collectively. So
okay.
Did anybody get Aiken?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's Cardinal?
Yes.
Okay, how about Gold?
Yes.
Okay, how about Jesus?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mantle?
Yes.
Sinai?
Yes.
Bond Woman?
Yes.
Yes.
First Fruit?
Yes.
Air?
Yes.
Joshua?
Air who? What? You went too fast. Oh, Air. Air. Okay, Air Joshua.
Precept? Okay. Spoil?
Yeah.
Caleb? Anybody get Caleb?
Yeah.
Okay. How about first mention?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem?
Yes.
Okay. Law?
Yeah.
Silver? Oh, there's our weak spot. Nobody got silver? How about under the banner?
Under the banner.
Yeah, I got that one. So we missed one.
You sure nobody has silver?
I just saw it now.
Okay.
We got it. Good. See.
We'll put a question mark.
Thank you. But it proved the point collectively. We got it all done. We did. I'll let you guys finish that if you want to. That's what the purpose of the puzzle of the game was, to purpose ourselves collectively. How strong we are collectively. Amen? Mm-hmm. We are.
I'm proud of Mike too.
Yeah, me too, Jack.
Yes. Yep. I'm going to jump over here. I knew you guys would like that game. I just knew it. I didn't make my markers. Ah! Here it is. Okay. Yes!
So finished.
You finished? Mm-hmm. You guys are amazing. 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 Any questions? What is it, did we communicate what we felt that God wanted to put before? What did we communicate today? I'm asking you for clarification.
We're all important.
We're all important.
Each have a different plan. As long as we work collectively.
Mm-hmm.
corporate purity and individual purity.
Thank you. Did you guys hear that? Say it again loud, Julie.
Corporate purity and individual purity.
Right.
You can't be corporately pure if there's individual impurity.
Uh-huh. And so the part that Julia's creative flair here, that the eyes, that actually it is seen. And if the Lord were to look at, we look at it as a, as an encouragement by the way that he lit the stones. And remember in Romans it talks about we're to offer ourselves as a living stone. So when they took, when they crossed the Jordan, remember that they took 12 stones that were unhewn and uncut because they were supposed to be representing the government of living stones. That's why we're not cut. Okay, so I want us to start sensing and picking up all of those things that God is teaching us on this side of the veil. And because of this, when we step and go, and I encourage you to read the battle. Read the Battle of Jericho. Read the Battle of Ai. That is the strategies that he gave us. We are going in that order. We may put some together, you know, and do them at that time. So what that's doing is that it's creating... Remember a couple weeks ago I showed you the different, if you want to call them levels of spiritual realms. Remember? I'm going to use the word level because I don't really have, but actually they're like, depending on your perception, they can be side by side. But we use levels because it kind of organizes it. Remember that they actually, the kingdom of earth, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So they actually create the menorah. So what we're doing is we're learning in the spirit God's kingdom. The whole purpose of this is to learn God's kingdom and to learn his precepts. When we walk in his precepts, we're basically uninvincible.
Invincible.
Invincible. And that's what I sense that he is training us in ruling and reigning. To actually listen, get the protocols, know the mandates, know all those, so that we can actually be like Christ and do the greater works. Greater works.
And I think right now the thing I'm thinking about Achan was that he started out giving praise to God and being so impressed with what God had done, but how quickly it turned to we did this, we did that, and so how easy it is when God is on your side.
And that's presumption.
Yeah, that's presumption.
And praise God, we don't have to deal in the old covenant where we all come before and watch our little thing, and when we're the last one and it dims and the earth swallows us and our whole family, we now have a high priest who is forgiving, and all, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, you know, it says it's a fearful thing to come before the living God, yet in Christ, it's not a fearful thing, and he's quick to forgive. Isn't there a scripture that says, I could paraphrase, all things are open before the Lord? So we know that he sees in our hearts, he knows we see everything, and I guess Achan knew that too. What did he expect when they started going before the thing and the light started dimming? But we don't have to go fearfully because God, we know he sees us anyway, but this adds a level of significance to it. We can't just presume, say, well, my oversight or my sin or whatever, was that's a small thing, no big deal. No, we have to go before the Lord to confess it and it's gone. But to presume that it's not important has ramifications for our whole family line for here to eternity.
Well, also when he asked the questions, he kept on coming up with a different conclusion because he was motivated for what he wanted by like lusting eyes or what, you know. He wasn't being motivated in his answer. It's not wrong to ask questions,
right.
But the motivation started, then he asked questions and built the whole case. Now, whether or not he really did, but, you know, that's what it kind of felt like that. He kept on building the case to generate his lust, his desire, what he thought was good for him, and he actually came to a conclusion, at least into it, that, well, nobody really saw. Mm-hmm. And see how ludicrous that is.
Right.
Because, you know, here, this is the God who's, opened the Red Sea and all this kind of stuff, and he didn't see.
But we in our narrow mindedness, can you actually think that heaven is not watching?
That's right. How it works.
Seriously. And so that's what God, and remember, because we have circumcised hearts with the internal control of Holy Spirit. And it's because we ask him, just like David did, search me, O God, and know my heart, if there be any vexing away. Remember, the vexing way is actually a vexing pathway that goes off. And why do we ask him this? Because we want to be on the right path. And when you look back, if you were to look back, so when we, as a bench, when the idea moved upon our hearts, and we actually took in and returned the spoil to the Lord, it was amazing. And the pleasure of the Lord to return that somebody would actually think about honoring his precepts and making, like Christ, and making something right. It was amazing. And we, being the high priest, Jesus is our high priest, and following after the order of Melchizedek, have that power to actually make things right and apply them. Do you guys want to stand for a minute to be we accomplished? Yes, Julie.
What does AI mean again?
AI means a heap of rubble. A heap of rubble?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A heap of rubble.
So it probably would be beneficial if you would just read The Battle of AI and what happened, because it was after that that prompted this whole thing.
Yeah.
So if you would just go into, I think it's in Joshua?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, yeah.
Yeah,
just
well, all the kings and stuff, Joshua 9 through 12, in there you'll find all these things. And there's so much that God is teaching us. But this is, this is called, actually the word cardinal, that is a Hebrew, you know, we hear cardinal sin. It is an actual precept. It's a Hebrew, that word cardinal. So this is a cardinal precept. Didn't just imagine it. And there's something to learn about that, because it's a cardinal, what my father cares about, I want to care about. If there's something in my heart that doesn't please my father, I want to do something about it. And that's why we can talk about these things, because we're all like-minded. And that's why God has opened the revelation to us that he has, because we care about those things. You guys want to stand? You're already standing. That's good, Jack. Yay. Yeah. So all of you, if through the week, if there's something that God, you know, wants to have a conversation with you about, go have that conversation. My encouragement to you is always step in. Always, 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 always. There's an encounter in that one step. There's an encounter. You can step in driving your car. Always step in and be in his presence. Always, every day, make a point to step into his presence. Every day, make a point to step in, have communion there. Because communion, we are learning. Communion changes the record of your DNA. Proof of that in science. That DNA actually can be traced generationally.
So we're going to do the...
Oh, yes, thank you. Don, you want to do that? That's a perfect conclusion. I'll let you do the mechanics.
Can you leave it?
Huh? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
So, Father, you declare this over me. I declare you are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you. I call you my child. I am your Father. You are mine, and I am yours. I legitimize you as my child. I call forth your spiritual destiny. I call your spirit to attention. Listen with your spirit to the words that I, your Heavenly Father, have for you. The Spirit of your Father gives witness to your spirit that you are my Son. I bless your spirit with the spirit of sonship and the mindset of sonship. I bless you with a deep heart identity as my very own child, securely loved in my family. I bless you with the settled assurance that I have a future and a hope for you. I have written your days in my book with love for your best interest and my ultimate glory. I bless you with the deep knowledge that I know what you need and I have all the resources of the universe to meet that need. Listen with your spirit to my words for you. My spirit testifies to your spirit that you are my child. I bless you with the ears to hear the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, power, and fear of the Lord. I bless you with being tuned into me, with eyes for seeing, ears for hearing, and a mind for understanding, according to the Spirit. I bless you with being led by the fullness of my spirit of truth to see things as I see them in the heavenly realms. I bless you with the deep knowledge that you are an heir with your brother Jesus to all my treasuries. I bless you with the confidence that you lack for nothing that you need, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, and practically. I bless you with the sure understanding that I want you to have my blessings and my glory to possess your birthright. I bless you with the desire to press forward to see the glory that I am revealing. I bless you with a heart that does not rebel or shrink back from the opportunities I put before you daily. I bless you with a hunger for the manifestation of my glory day by day in you and through your life. I declare that you are no longer a slave, an orphan, or a victim. I declare that you are mine and I am yours. I am your inheritance and you are my inheritance. I declare that I am your Father and you are my Son. I give you access to your heavenly home. I give you access to the river and tree of life. I call you to be a gateway of heaven on the earth. You are my child, and I call you to be displayed as a mature son on the earth.
Woo! Isn't that good?
I was beginning to think that was like when Joshua or some king decided to read the book of the law before the people.
Yeah. Oh, I encourage you to read that after the Battle of Ai. Okay. Because they went back, Joshua knew what to do, and they stood on the mountain of Gerizim and, oh, I forgot the other one. Abel, the mountain of blessing and cursing. It's huge. And guess, I'll tell you a little secret. In the middle of it, Shechem. You know what's in Shechem? All through them? That's where Jacob's well was. That's where the John 4, the Samaritan woman, right there in the middle of those two mountains.
And can we just agree that we also declare this for Linda?
I agree.
Because, and
yes,
let's all agree, because it's really just what she needs,
mm-hmm,
in the situation she is.
Thank
lunch.
You, Sandy.
Lunch.
Huh?
And there's lunch.
And where's lunch?
Pastrami sandwich.
Nope.
Roast
lamb. Actually says roast
lamb.
Roast lamb.
Roast lamb.
Roast
lamb.
Roast lamb.
Don roasted a lamb yesterday. A lamb of...